And welcome to our State of the Church Address.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah. State of the Church Address. We do this every year. Well, now's the time. So if you're here, consider yourself lucky. Because yeah. Obviously you made it out of 2020 alive.
Yeah.
We don't have, you know, so watch your language. But we're thankful to be here. We're thankful that you're here. And oftentimes, in order to get a good grasp of where God wants to take us in the future, you need to look at the past and see where he took us and what he took us through in the past. So there is going to be some reflection here. I'm sorry, 2020 is going to be reviewed as far as it involves the life of Lifehouse Church. You know, one thing I wanted to mention was how last year at this time-ish, we gave our State of the Church address, and it was interesting for me to look at my notes from last year and reflect upon what I was thinking about. And what I was dreaming about, what I was believing God for. It's a good exercise, guys. You may want to do it yourself. And I was really thinking about just really, you know, choosing to walk in God's will. Had no idea what God's will involved, but I was thinking about it. 1 John 1:7 was the verse that God was speaking to me through, and it says this. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's a powerful verse. And what I was thinking about at that time last year is how it's a conditional verse. You know, we have to choose to walk in the light. It's an if. If you walk in the light, well, then good things are going to happen. Or at least some positives. You're going to have fellowship. You're going to experience biblical fellowship with one another. But you got to choose to walk in the light, walking with Jesus first. It's like, well, why are all my relationships failing, and why is there drama and stress? Well, you don't just look at them and their problems. You look at your own life and you realize, whoa, I've not been walking in the light. And so that was on my mind. Relational conflict was, I thought, was going to be our biggest problem. Oh my goodness. That's honestly, it's what I had in my notes, says that relational conflict is our biggest problem, you know, for 2020. Yeah, exactly. But the challenge that I was felt that we were facing was to make every effort to walk in the light and to learn what that looks like as a church family, and to engage in Sunday mornings and Bible studies and quiet times and life groups and really just choose to walk in the light. And that if we're faithfully engaged in those things, then the promise of fellowship will follow. If you choose not to, if you're hit and miss, if you're more miss than hit, well, you're going to get what you're asking for. There's going to be some conflict eventually. So what kind of 2020 do you want to have? And that was my challenge. It's got merit. It still has merit, even with a pandemic and rioting and all that stuff. It still has merit. In fact, sometimes those external circumstances can add some stress and pressure in your life that if you're not walking in the light, it comes up and out more often. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was even more relevant than had COVID not happened. But that's what I was thinking about at the beginning of this time last year.
And so I have a slot here that says Bob's verse about choosing to walk in God's plan. So I look back at my notes and there wasn't one. That's usually me. Most of the year, I was on John 15. So this is the first John. That was from 1 John, but this is the first John. This is the gospel. I mean, this is really
John. Don't confuse them.
Yeah. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this has come back over and over and over and over again. Thing about abiding is it's not laziness, it's obedience. The hardest thing that we have to do is to humble ourselves. We just are our own little motor. We want to do our own thing. We have our own plans. We have our own dreams. We have our own ambitions. And we cannot improve upon the one that God has already planned for us. We just can't. The best we can do is to learn to abide, to learn. It's about grace, and we'll get to that in a little bit here, but I returned to that many, many, many times this year. It's been a delight to dwell on. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. In fact, apart from that, you can't do anything. Worthwhile, eternal, that'll last. You're just running your own game plan. That's what you're doing. So I think the biggest thing that caught my attention about this throughout the year is there's much fruit. That would bring God glory, and that's still my desire. So that's mine for this year.
Yeah, no, why not?
No, I have another one for this year. Yeah. I have two. I'm sure you do. Yeah, that's from John.
It's a good book. And so the common theme here was getting close to Jesus. You get close to Jesus, and fellowship and fruit will follow. Well, what happened? What happened in 2020? So now we're going to do a recap of 2020. Go ahead.
Okay. So we started in January last year.
I know, right?
Yeah. And we didn't have a Faith Walkers conference. Instead, we had a Fusion conference, and there were 24, 25 of us who went. That was probably had the greatest percentage of any church, honestly. That attended. It was good. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Cold, but it was a good time up there. Yeah. And another highlight from January was that James Mulvihill moved back. Mm-hmm. And the Mulvihills, Moshers climbed all over him, and they were just overjoyed as soon as they heard that he was coming back. He had been involved in our Noah's Ark Clubhouse and had quite... James is pretty well organized and does a good plan, but he leaves room for kids to be kids, and it just works really well. So they were excited. And let's see. Oh, yeah, some of those that attended were Devin. He had just gotten saved, right? Just before that? Yeah. And then Heidi Lake went, Stephen's sister. And did you guys stay later, even after the conference, Stephen and Heidi also? Some of you stayed.
Oh, we did a little bit, yeah, for some more fun time at the...
At the park, water park. So I would say there's some fellowship. That's what started our year off. Yeah. Oh, yeah, one more thing. We started teaching through the series of Romans, seeking glory for the glory of God. I love that.
Three people got baptized?
Oh, no, I didn't do that. Yeah. And three people got baptized. Devin, Olivia, and Aiden. Yeah!
Yeah! See you, Olivia! Woohoo!
Sorry, I missed that.
That is exactly right. Then we got into February. And in February, we had a Super Bowl party with lots of chili and delicious food that Trudy brought. And looking forward to that again. One interesting thing that happened at the Super Bowl party is that Haley came. As a result of Haley coming to that, a meeting with Haley and Trudy and I materialized, and she prayed to receive Christ. And that was on February 4th that Haley prayed to receive Christ. She's still kind of on the edges, maybe does a little small group. She kind of interacts with me quite a bit. She came to our our New Year's Eve party. Haley was there. And so that is kind of a neat way that February got going, you know, the beginning of the year of salvation. That was really kind of a neat deal. And so that was the big highlight for February. Otherwise, it's February. Yeah. It's cold. Uncomfortable.
Something to survive.
We did.
And then March came and COVID came.
Yes, it did.
And I remember it started out on the West Coast, and I thought, you know, whatever. Pretty soon it's everywhere. And everything starts shutting down. I think, well, maybe next month. Oh, no. Not just a month. Yeah. Huge, huge. Yeah. Everything begins to close and get canceled. Yeah. So we started streaming from Ant's apartment on March 22nd. And it's amazing how well that worked. I am amazed anyway. We have glitches here. Seemed like we had almost none at Ant's apartment anyway. We were some of the first to stream. We did that, and I encouraged Tim to write a pandemic track. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, and he did. Yep. Hundreds of them were handed out or given out. Each folder that we do in our inspections, I put my testimony, and I stuck the pandemic in that, too, and we did 30 inspections in March. So sometimes I ran out, so I'm not sure that everybody, but I'm just... It is a track that's appropriate. It's timely, and it's right to the point. We have a sin. We have a sin problem. So, and that is when the Moshers moved in with Jay. Jay encouraged them too. They started spending time there, and Jay said, "Hey, why don't you move in?" And so that's been a journey, but that's when that started.
Yeah.
And that's when Colin moved into the Vorsa.
Yeah! Wave! Yeah! Woo! Yep. Colin moved in on March. That was fun. Okay. Then April happened, and everything was still closed or canceled or otherwise postponed. Even Easter. Even our Easter service was by stream. And that, you know, that's when things started getting a little bit depressing and discouraging. It's like, how long is this going to last? Well, didn't realize that April held even a harder thing in store for us. Bob French passed away and entered into paradise in April. And so we still miss him dearly. It happened on the 5th of April. And so that's where, you know, not just because of the deaths with COVID, but life overall, just realize how precious life is and how it ought never to be taken for granted and how easy it is to let little things become big things, you know, and irritations and annoyances and you maybe harbor ill will or negative feelings towards somebody, and yet you just never know what a day holds, much less what a year holds. You know, Bob didn't make it out of 2020 on Earth. He's now more alive than ever before, but not with us. And you just don't know what the future holds. So the necessity to show grace and love, and kindness, is significant, always significant. But that really came home to me in April.
And so in May, we got to start meeting again, politically correct. And so we bombed around from VFW to Elks Lodge back and forth, but glad to have a place at least to meet. And then on May 25th, George Floyd was killed, and the riots began, and they've continued all through the year. Terrible. So because of that, because of the backlash against law enforcement, somebody came up with the idea that we're going to pray for our law enforcement. We gave them a box and some printed up, hey, you want to write a prayer request? Just put it in the box. kind of fell flat. We really didn't, it fell flat communication-wise and so forth. That's okay, but I'd do it again. They need to know we're for them. We're praying for them. And let's see. Oh, yeah, we started playing baseball probably in May, we think. And as a result of that, I don't know, did you bring Tim Reichs?
No, Paul.
Paul Reichs. I always say it. And as a result of that, well, we'll get to that in a couple months, but that was the start, baseball. Baseball is fruitful, man.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew? We got ourselves into June. At least the weather was warmer, and we were playing some baseball. The store Games XP celebrated its 10-year anniversary. It was okay. I mean, it was a little anticlimactic, and a lot of people were still kind of scared and sheltering in place. But we did. We celebrated our 10-year anniversary in June, and that was a milestone. But then also kind of on the opposite end is our church movement, Great Commission Churches, dissolved in June. We are no longer a part of an association of churches like that. Now we're still a part of a region that is a remnant of the Great Commission Churches, but that was dissolved. And so we also felt that because of what was happening there, it would be good to do a series called The Way We Were. And we talked about the things that made the Great Commission Churches a movement and even a worldwide association of churches and those unique characteristics of the love for God and love for God's word and love for sharing the gospel and love for each other. And those are the things that stimulated growth like none other. And of course, if it worked then, it's a recipe that works now as well. And so that's what happened.
And in July, Lifehouse celebrated 10 years. We did it over in the park, and we had people just walk by and stick. And we overcame some difficulties. We had this blow-up thing, you know, slide playhouse. And we didn't have a blow-up machine. And long story short, God provided, and it was greatly received. And then Colin got a job at Pizza Hut. July, yep.
What?
For the first summer ever, we did not have a parade involvement. We didn't even have a booth at the fair. No. Never had that before. A little bit of involvement still with cleanup with the 4-H thing, but Peter and the gang took care of that pretty handily. Then we came to August. That's when our church fiscal year cycles. And back in April, when we offered this to James, that he might take over the responsibilities of the treasury. Melissa had been doing a wonderful job, but like most moms, this is the second or third time this has happened, that a mom gets busy with her kids, and it's very difficult to keep up. James accepted, and in June, we got him signed up at the bank so that he's our official treasurer. It's more work than you think to do these things. And so James has been working on this. Well, he's a computer guy, and he has designed a number of programs that have streamlined how we report and how we gather our information and how we report our information. So it's going to save us time, but maybe more importantly, when we have a question, he'll have it more quickly. It's readily available. So he's worked a lot of hours in this already, and we're grateful for that. But I wanted to say this also, that back somewhere, I looked back, and about 5 years ago, our budget or bank balance stood at about $16,000. And somewhere around that time, Tim and I had thought, I think it went down to $13,000, and we said, you know, if it gets down to $10,000, we're going to need to do something. We just can't run on, you know, we can't nickel and dime this thing along. We thought we might have to go to house churches. God blessed. He just blessed. He sprang a blessing on us. Sometimes it's hard to even understand how it happened, but not many years later, we established a yearly budget of $40,000, and we met it. So we raised it to $48,000 and we blew the top off of it. So this year we have established a budget of $60,000, which is close to what we had when we started 10 years ago. But now it's us, not Stonebrook's help. And so far, we're a couple thousand ahead of pace even. Everything can change, you know. Money is one of those things that changes on a dime. So God has helped us. The derecho hit.
Derecho.
Yeah, that. It's spelled derecho.
But it's Spanish.
I'm not. And so we went down there, and that was a good day. A carload or two carloads? Two carloads went down, something like that. Yeah. And had a good time down there, and the folks were appreciative. You know, we were kind of on the north in the Marion area, but good day's work. Excellent. Glad to be able to participate.
Yes, we were. And then in September and October, things really began to happen. A lot of very fun, exciting things happened in the months of September and October. First of all, we found this place, where God found it for us, series of miraculous events. We found a permanent place to meet. And not just on Sunday mornings, but on any day of the week, we can show up and use this facility. And so the Decora Senior Center became our church home. We introduced ourselves to the neighbors with the welcome bags. They introduced us. They welcomed us with spray painting and hostile remarks. But hey, that was just a loud marginal few. But we're here, and that happened. Outreach class started in September. We start with an initial group of 12 people, and that's kind of fluctuated now, but we also then decided, well, since this is hard and since not everybody can participate any given Thursday, we just decided to make the outreach class a forever type thing. And so we'll be kicking that off again for the new year this Thursday. But as a result of having the old class, the gospel started getting out, and there were 8 presentations of the gospel using the outreach diagram. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened, most likely wouldn't have happened, guys. And so of those 8, 2 responded and have received Christ into their lives, we trust. And I'll get to those in just a second. So that was exciting. That was huge. Also what happened in September is Nina and Devin got engaged. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I actually got to witness it and everything. Our whole family witnessed the proposal. It was pretty sweet. Their wedding is set for September 25th of this year, so that's something to look forward to. Edgeventure happened on the last weekend of September. Colin went, and now Colin has been a regular participant of our church. He's a regular. He's a regular.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can start ignoring him now. But that's been great. That has been great. We also, in September, began our 2 Corinthians series, How Far Will You Get? Well, we haven't finished it yet, so we'll see how far we get. But we'll be picking up 2 Corinthians next week. And then October, And then in October, we participated for the first time in the Convergence Conference. The region that we're a part of has always had this fall conference for college students and young adults. We've never gone. We went. 6 of us went. Band broke down. Much fun had by all. But we went, and it was good, and we didn't even want to leave, and we're looking forward to doing that again. So the Convergence Fall. Whoa, first salvation, Billy prayed to receive Christ. Where's Billy? There she is.
Yeah.
Billy was, yep. She's like, Bob shared the gospel with her, and she said, I want some of that forgiveness in my life, and she got it. And so So Billy, we prayed to receive Christ. Then just a few days later, because that was on the 14th for Billy, on the 22nd, Paul Reichs prays to receive Christ with Jay and myself. And so, boom, boom, we have a couple of exciting salvations there in October. It's a good month to get saved, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good month to get saved. Early voting started, so that began to ramp up. Oh, my goodness. But also, Ariana Dawn Productions held their first event. The Masquerade Ball happened on Halloween night, and so now Ariana Dawn Productions is something of a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We're looking for the next production. The next production of Ariana Dawn, maybe Valentine's Day. We'll see.
You're going to do that.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. So then November rolled around. November 3rd rolled around. And that was Election Day this year. And so I stayed up a little later than I was planning to, because it was almost over, and I kind of wanted to see how this thing would go, and I tried to lay down, and it didn't work, so I got up again, and I looked again, and it's about the same as it was, and I lay down again, and I got up again, and I looked again, and it was about the same as it was, and that went on for about a week and a month, and I'm glad I went to bed.
I know, right? There's not much more to say. It was the weirdest election.
It was Thanksgiving then in November. Yeah,
there was Thanksgiving. We found something to be thankful for. December, just last month, guys. Kristen, we got a clean bill of health.
Yeah!
That was a good thing. Ariana Dawn Productions held their first multi-act Christmas play.
Yeah.
That was a good thing. Yeah. It was very good. We enjoyed that. And Faith Walkers was online instead of Fusion. Since Fusion was canceled, Faith Walkers was online. And so that happened. That was New Year's Eve party. that was it. So that ended 2020. It was a roller coaster, you know? And but here we are. So the summary. Here's the summary. Three got saved. Three got baptized. Not the same three, but 11 newer folks stopped coming to Lifehouse in many respects because of COVID, but also because of moving. Folks like Audrey, do you remember her, guys? Adam and Carrie, Sven and Becca, they moved. Jennifer was with us for a while. I think she might work a lot on Sundays, I'm not sure. The Makala family. So we had a number of people stop coming. And we did lose one precious soul to death. And so we did take some hits there. So that was a total of 11 people that were coming around that no longer are. Four started coming, James, Billy, and Cheyenne, Colin. So we have a net loss of 7 over 2020. So our church size now on a good day is 45.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if he keeps it up, man, he's going to get counted next year. We might give him a plaque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, suitable for framing or something. No one is intentionally overlooked. So thank you for coming, Dale. That's for sure. So we're about at 45. You know what that means, guys? That means 45 souls persevered through 2020. You made it. You persevered. You hung in there. That's a huge characteristic of true believers, is your perseverance. Don't make any small thing of it. It's a big deal. You guys made it. You made it. What do we do after that? Okay, so now we're going to talk about where are we going from here? Okay, since we made it, now what? You know? And let me just start by sharing a little bit of thoughts about 2021. My overall sense of this coming year is that we're really going to need to pull it together to make it through 2021. These are very uncertain times that we are living in. You know, now that COVID has hit the fan and everything, we are even more aware of how uncertain life is. COVID, of course, it continues to be a concern that plagues our nation. They're even talking about a new strain. A new strain. Well, isn't that convenient? And once that one gets resolved, a new who knows how is this going to end? Some were even saying earlier on, it's not going to end. It's just they're going to come up with one thing or another. Nonetheless, this COVID and all of its various forms and fashions continue to plague our country. Some people think that it's being intentionally manipulated to control people in order to reach a global state, a global economy. That, who knows? Who knows? There's all sorts of conspiracy theories and concerns out there. But for sure, much of the COVID stuff has been used to oppress and suppress the church. Mm-hmm. You've been hearing about what's been going on in California. Did you know that in New Mexico, the governor is fining every church that met on Christmas? Every church that met for Christmas holiday, Christmas services, are being fined $10,000 each. You know, if that happened to us, that'd be it. You know, we'd be penniless. We would be meeting in homes. But yeah, I mean, so it's a curious thing to consider why so much hostility is being vented on the church in mm-hmm. these matters. But it is, and so there's that. There's the Biden-Harris presidency that seems inevitable by hook or by crook. They're going to be in. We've got these election fraud concerns that are just pretty difficult to deal with, and who knows exactly all that's gone on there. It seems like there's a serious power struggle going on, and it's hard to know what to believe. You know, we're just peeps living in Decorah, and we're just kind of taking what they're saying, and it's hard to know what's true and what's not. And right now, it sounds like there's a bunch of our senators and representatives are going to object to the Electoral College's certification that would confirm a Biden election. If that happens, well, then the process of electing a president doesn't happen. So that means the House, the Speaker of the House, will become the president pro temp. That would be Nancy Pelosi at this moment. Who saw that coming? Not me. Rioting continues. Portland is taking the brunt of it. It is so bad that I've heard that the police are calling on the community to respond in whatever forms they see fit because they're overwhelmed by the rioting and the Antifa BLM people and all that's going on there. And if the election were by some way overturned, yeah, you'll see rioting at a whole new level. And so that's just the stuff that we kind of see in the horizon. We don't even know what we don't know. And right now, what I don't know scares me even more. So it's a difficult time to be alive. So what is God doing?
So, or how do we behave, or how do we think?
And
Jesus already talked about it. Can you believe that? Yeah. Yep. At the beginning of his ministry, when he stopped being a carpenter and started being a preacher, he gave a message to 12 people that he had gathered together, his disciples. And he said, whoever listens to these words of mine will be like a wise person building a house on a rock. And the winds came and they burst against and it stood. Whoever listens to these words and doesn't do anything about it, he'll be just like a foolish person building a house on the beach. And the wind comes, the waves come, and it's gone. We need an anchor, and the anchor is the truth. And and one of the ones that I'm going to cling to here, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago in our Christmas messages, is John 1:17. Jesus said, the law was given through Moses. Jesus didn't say this. John wrote this. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized in Jesus Christ. There was in John's experience, he had never seen this before. He thought about it when he wrote the gospel, and then in the first letter, he said the same thing. You know, we were eyewitnesses. We saw this. This is for real. We handled him. We touched him. We saw him reach out to the unlovely. We saw him touch the diseased. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And for us, what that means, I believe that all of us are competitive. Luke always talks about being competitive, socially competitive. I think it's just part of the fall. We know we're insecure. We know we got to fight for ourselves. We feel that anyway. It doesn't work. We just end up at each other's throat. Grace was realized in Jesus. Sufficiency. Sufficiency. Sufficiency for my problems, but especially sufficiency in our interactions with one another. I think it's mostly or well summed up in 1 Corinthians 6, where the Corinthian church had problems one with another, and they'd go to the law courts, and Paul said, why not rather be wronged? That's the gospel. That is grace living. And we will offend one another. Good, in a sense. Part of it, it displays grace. Grace and truth were realized in Jesus Christ. Truth is structure. Grace goes beyond it, and that's what I'm depending on God to do this year. I think that's what he wants to do in our midst, that we would be operatives of grace.
A verse that I've got, Jay, I'm just going to skip that first one, so we're going to go right to the Romans 5 one. A verse for 2021 for me. This is a passage that I'm going to hold on to, and it says in Romans 5, when we were utterly helpless, I figured that was an appropriate start. Right there, I just like I can identify with that. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God, friends of God. How about that? How about that? I just love the language of relationship. Here. It's powerful. It's a language of love. It's a language of commitment. Guys, you just got to realize that's how God views Christianity. That's how God views our faith. He doesn't view it as a religion. He doesn't view it as a duty of do's and don'ts, a set of doctrinal beliefs to hold. It involves those things, but he doesn't view it that way. He views it as a love relationship with you and with me, and that we ought to even bring that into our relationships with each other. And that's what I really love about this passage, and that's why I'm holding on to it, is that as followers of Christ, not only can we experience that intimacy with God, that relationship with God, no matter what else happens around us, riots and elections and whatnot, COVID, new strain here, no there. This is untouchable by that. That intimacy of my relationship with God. And then I can to think that I can imitate that relationship with you guys. You and me, we can imitate this love relationship. And I believe that we need to do that. We need to do that in 2021. We've got to stick together. In fact, that's what I feel is a key word for 2021 is together. In a sense, circling the wagons, maybe so, but together, whatever comes, we've got to stick together. So together is the key word. And I have four things that we'd like to propose to you that we need to be together in. And Bob's got the first one.
And that is staying together, and that means we're going to have problems.
The closer you get,
yeah,
the more sparks will fly.
Yeah, yeah, iron does sharpen iron, and we will offend, and we will, we're different people. We have to get the edges rubbed off. Tim was sharing here last week from Ephesians 4, don't sin by letting anger control you.
I know.
Yeah, Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I really appreciated the science aspect of last week's message, that something actually happens chemically in our bodies to keep us in a decaying state if we retain our anger. So we're going to do a short teaching series on how to resolve interpersonal conflict, coupled with a resolve to do the very thing that will knock the wind out of Satan's schemes, and that's keeping us together. Not all tensions can be talked up to that. We have been around the block enough to see that the evil one has just had targets on our backs. And what we're going to do about that, Ephesians 6 says, we'll just put up our full armor, truth, righteousness, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, faith, holding up the shield of faith. That's what we'll be doing this year, and it will work. It's armor. It's God's armor, and that will work.
We're going to stay together. We're going to stick together. I mean, that'll include, of course, churches Sunday morning. If you need to have specifics detailed out for you, I wouldn't think you would need to. But church on Sunday morning, life groups, Thursday nights, things like that, staying together as much as we can. We need to prioritize each other. The second thing is we need to grow together. Grow together. You know, after the 2 Corinthians series is over, part of this armor that Bob speaks of is to do a series on dealing with depression. It's real and it's debilitating. And you just got a taste last week of what we want to do in really bringing God's word and the science of man to bear on healing from these deeper wounds of anger and depression in our lives. And so we want to deal with what? We want to find what God has for answers to these issues. And so growing together, yes, through our Sunday morning teachings, but also through personal quiet times and life groups, which I believe are key ingredients to your growth. If you feel like I'm not growing as a Christian, I'm the same today as I was last year, I say immerse yourself all the more if you're already involved. But if you're not, then this is what you need to do. Have personal quiet times every day if you can. And be actively involved in a life group. I believe those are key ingredients to growth. No water, sunshine. It's quiet times and life groups. Not rocket science. You heard it here. Okay. So, then to spice up what we think God's got cooking in your life, I would like to encourage you to fill out the spec sheet. Now, everybody grab one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. You have one of these spec sheets? All right, take a look. Now, of course, if a person is unemployed, you would have the time to fill this out every day. Maybe if you are still employed, you just got to be more disciplined with your time. You could fill this out every time you have a quiet time. I mean, I don't know how many of us are so busy, we don't even have a half an hour to do this. But that's not why I brought it up. If you would want to, go for it. Believe me, you will grow if you do. But that's not why I put it out. I put it out here to encourage you to fill this out once. Just once, as you evaluate your life, not necessarily over a chapter that you just read or a verse that jumped out at you, but when you consider this as a part of your life. You look at this, okay? So you look at the application and you think about your life and you're saying to yourself, is there a sin in my life that I need to confess to God, to somebody else, and avoid it like the plague, like the COVID? You know, look what we're doing to protect ourselves from COVID. How about implementing some rigorous protocols to protect yourself from sin? That's that first one. S, a sin to confess and avoid. Is there a sin in your life that you need to confess and avoid? Write it down. write it down and have it there at your desk, by your bedside, in your Bible, so that over the course of the year, you will remember that's the enemy I'm battling. Okay, how about P, a promise to keep? You heard mine, Romans 5, 6, and then I jumped to 10 and verses 10 and 11. If you liked them too, you can take them. I don't have a corner on that verse. You could have it as well. All right? But have a promise from God that you're going to hold on to when things get rocky. You look at that. Oh, yeah, I got this promise that's anchoring me through the storm of 2021. An example to follow. It says, do I find people in this passage? How about people in your life that you feel are a good role model? What character traits and what actions are commendable and which are not? And so an example to follow, is there something that you see in somebody else's life that you would like to be in your life? You write it down and you're asking God, God, refine me and build this character quality into my life. A command to obey. This may be something that you would get from your quiet times, and a command jumps out to you and it pierces your heart and you feel like God really, really believe God wants me to do this. If there's a command in the scriptures to do something and you've not been altogether doing it, that would be the thing to write down. Knowledge about God. Is there something about God you want to know better? You know, for me, when I read that verse, that passage for you, and it says that line, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. I would like to dig deeper on that. I would like to know more of what was Paul thinking when he said that. What would he be referring to? I would like to know. I think I'm going to dig into that a little bit. Maybe some of that's going to be the knowledge of God that I write down there to understand what this life that God gave me as a result of my salvation. What does that really all mean? So, and then a specific plan, if there's some things that you need to write down. I want to get up at this time so I can have a quiet time. I want to go to bed at this time. You know, if you need to come up with a plan for these things to happen, otherwise, halfway through February, this will be in the trash. So that's my intention with this spec, is for you to do it once as you evaluate your life and pursue that over the course of the year. Grow together.
And another thing we want to do is to pray together. You might have guessed. Didn't you say there's a meme? Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
What's that say?
Could somebody read that for us?
Yeah. Do you believe that? I haven't counted. This is something I could dig for. This is just a little, it'd be trivia, but how many times has God said, is anything too difficult for me?
Yeah.
There are quite a few times that he said that to Moses, said it to Elijah, he said it to Jeremiah, and then he said it to the disciples, is anything too difficult for me? There are things that are too difficult for us. We've talked about them here this morning. We are going to pray. Nothing is impossible with God. We pray. Some men have been praying. We prayed 42 times last year, I believe, at 8 a.m. at my house. Some men. We've decided that we're going to start praying on Thursday nights here, the first Thursday of each month. So we're meeting on Thursday nights anyway. Everybody's welcome. We'll start this in February, so we've got some things we want to wrap up this Thursday, but we're meeting from 6:30 to 7:30, and the first Thursday of each month we'll devote to prayer. When we pray together, a lot of things happen. One of them is it changes our own heart. We begin to desire things that we didn't desire when we came in because somebody else prayed for that. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. We begin to expect God to do things, and we begin to look for God to do things. One of the things that I would like for him to do among us is to open our eyes to the opportunities we have to share the gospel. We were at Ohana late, like maybe October, and Jay flagged somebody to come over to us that we didn't know, and we sat there for a few minutes. The kids were playing, and Tim and Jay and I were with this fellow, and he said something about his life, and Tim caught it. He said, "Have you ever thought about dying?" And we were in the gospel. That'd be one of my impossibilities, that we would be open to this, and that will happen as we pray together.
Yeah, we are hoping to even have our Thursday night times be one of those dedicated to prayer. And I'm getting a phone call.
President?
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so guys, we are going to stay together, grow together, pray together, and share together. And so in sharing together, that brings to the surface the O class. It's every Thursday night from 6:30 to 7:30, right here, Lord willing. Every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30, right here. It will continue to have an emphasis on outreach. It will continue to have an emphasis on learning the outreach diagram and sharing it. But it's going to be more than that as well. I'd like to say it will be a time for some true discipleship, for some real intentionality at sharpening our axe and equipping ourselves with truth. And this is what I have in mind. Things like watching some training or apologetic videos. There's some precious stuff that's been made out there. Most of it we're unaware of. So we're going to find it, bring it to the surface, and we'll be watching a lot of these training or apologetic videos together. Maybe doing a little Bible study together over what is the biblical view of some of these significant current events going on, let's say in our church or in the world. Let's say in our church we start having some Mormons visit. The Mormons are starting to reach out to the people in our church. What do? Well, you know, just ignore them. How about we actually get into God's Word, try to understand what Mormonism teaches, where it's right, where it's wrong, what are their tactics, and learn about that together. Or out in the world, you know, let's say there is some significant unrest and civil disobedience is being called upon patriotic Americans. How ought we to respond? You know, is this kind of a situation from the 1700s and it's all over again? Or, you know, should we not pick up the sword? Jesus said, you know, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. You know, how ought we to understand? So this would be that time. Thursday would be that time that we would wrestle over issues like that. So, and of course, we're going to pray. We're thinking about dedicating the first Thursday of every month to a prayer meeting. We're just going to pray together. We're going to ask God together. There's nothing I can do about the election. There's nothing I can do about a lot of the things that come out of the White House. There's nothing I can do about so many things, but I can pray, and yeah, God can do something. Either that or everything we talk about is a big lie. I don't think so. Pretty convinced. So, we're going to pray. So, we strongly encourage you guys to make Thursday nights a part of your 2021. Maybe we'll change the O from outreach to outstanding. What do you think? Outstanding class. You know, I was like, what does the O stand for? Outstanding. Guys, that's our plan. So repeat it with me, okay? We're going to stay together. Say it.
Stay together.
We're going to grow together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to share together. I love these guys.
Yeah, that was good. Music.
It was music to our ears. let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that you have built into our hearts and our minds a desire to obey you. A desire to make your name renowned. We want the whole world to know. We want the knowledge of the glory of God to fill the earth. Or at least Decorah. And so here you are, you have given us a job to do, a life to live, and we want to do it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us and lead us through this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, as you know, we also do our offering.